thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. Great God of heaven, my treasure thou art. Great God of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
It's really good to see you this morning, and glad you are here, and glad you've come to worship with us and to eat with us and just to hang out with us. What a great day. And trust, this won't be the last time you come. I know that some of you are come especially for this day once a year because you live away from here. We're grateful that you're here. And just for those of you that have come today to be part of Covenant Church, thank you. I want to say thank you to Janice for doing that Armed Forces medley. She got that music on Thursday and put it together for us. So great. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure why she not decided that it was important for her to knock over these boxes, but thanks to Paige and Dan as well for that beautiful song and just that ministry of music for us. What a blessing that is to have them. And you know, the Operation Christmas Child boxes, incredibly important. You know, sometimes we think, well, we're just filling up these boxes with toys and shirts and pencils and Play-Doh and all that stuff, and it seems like such a waste. But let me tell you, that's not the point. The point is that when those kids get those boxes, someone tells them the story about Jesus and how much he loves them. That's why we do what we do. And how grateful I am for, there were 176. I think they're still up here, but there may be more than that. You might have brought some in, but man, what a blessing that is. That we get to add those to the others that get, and millions around the world that go to families and children. What a blessing. Let me offer prayer for them, this morning. God, thank you so much for the privilege of putting these boxes together. More importantly, for the privilege of allowing them to be sent around the world so that children can hear the story about Jesus and his love for them. And my prayer is, God, as these children open these boxes, gifts to them, just given because people love them, may they experience that truth about Jesus as well. He just loves them right where they are. I pray that for every box that's here and all those other millions that'll go from other places. Thank you for the privilege of being able to give them and share them with children. In Jesus' name, amen. And one other thing that I want to tell you this morning is on Thanksgiving Day. If you plan to be around, we are going to do Thanksgiving as we have last couple of years, Thanksgiving at the Ark. And we're going to provide a meal for the families at Spring Meadows. And if you would like to be part of that experience, there are sign-up sheets out on the Welcome Center for you to go ahead and put your name down. We'll contact you. We'll touch base with you. But it's a great opportunity for us to share life with the folks of Spring Meadows and the community that surrounds that as we celebrate Thanksgiving. We're thankful to be there, thankful to be in ministry to them. So I would invite you to be part of that. Hope that you will. Hope that you'll consider that and jump in by signing your name on one of those sheets of paper out there and helping out with that very, very special day. So how many of you know what that means? What is that? A pinky promise. What's a pinky promise? What's that mean?
Can't be broken.
You break a pinky promise, you're in trouble, right? A handshake. Something like that, right? You know, back when I was growing up, back when I was younger, never thought I would say that, really? Yeah, back when I was younger. You know, it used to be that a handshake was as good as your word. You know, you shook somebody's hand, and it was a deal. It was done. It was a promise. Not so much like that anymore, is it? And the pinky promise. You know, you see, I think as we talk about promises today, the promises that we make, you know, I think we have every intention of keeping them. You know, that's really the whole point of a promise, right? Is we intend to do something that we say we're going to do. That's the point. Sometimes we're better at that than others. Sometimes we're pretty good at keeping our word, and sometimes we wear that out by not keeping our word. Let me just wonder out loud for a few minutes. I wonder how often we think about the promises that we make. I just wonder how often we consider the words that we speak, the words that we say, the words that we write, the words that we promise to one another. I wonder if we've ever had a second thought about the promises we make. I wonder if we've ever considered the promises that we make. I wonder if we've ever thought about the promises that we make as being a part of our stewardship. You see, we're to be managed. Stewardship means that we're managers. And if we're good stewards of the things that we say, I mean, is that too much of a stretch to think that we're to be good stewards of the promises that we make as well? The things that we say? To consider ourselves to be managers or stewards over the things that come out of our mouths? Because you know what comes out of our mouth is a product of what? You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said that what comes out of our mouths is a product of our hearts. I mean, that's what he said. So it just kind of, I don't know, it kind of seems to me that if that's the case, then stewardship does fit. And we ought to be good stewards of the promises that we make. So I wonder, when we make promises to one another in the body of Christ, as a part of the local church, how important are those promises? What do they really mean? Do we really intend to keep them? We heard five people stand right here just a few moments ago and make promises. There's a response that we didn't do that I want us to do right now. So Brian, if you can go back and find that, I think it's really important that we don't miss this. Because, yeah, they make promises to us, but you know what? We make promises back to them. So let's see if we can do this together. Let's say these words. And so for those of you that just joined this morning, I just want you to sit and listen because this is for you. This is our promise back to you as part of the church, part of His body. So let's say these words to them. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the promise that we make to you, new members. That's the promise, church, that we make to each other. That we will support each other. That that our allegiance is first to Christ, but then that we support each other and care for each other. And if that's a part of stewardship, then what does that really look like for you and me? You know, it's crazy to think how blessed we are. I mean, think about that, really. I was talking to Jesse this morning in first service, and Jesse said, you know, let me tell you what a blessing is. I said, what's a blessing? He goes, the blessing is I got up out of bed this morning. How many of us think about that? Our alarm goes off, we just jump out of bed. You know? Or kind of roll out of bed, or worse, stumble out of bed. You know, and then he said, and he said, you know what another blessing is? I said, what's that, Jesse? He said, that I get to breathe every day. I said, man, you know how many of those things we just take for granted? We are so blessed that we get to say, every morning we have the opportunity to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. God blesses us physically. God blesses us materially. God blesses us monetarily. God blesses us spiritually. And then because we are blessed, He in turn charges us to be a blessing. And to manage those blessings well. That's stewardship. And when we think about what that looks like within our church family, is we get to share life with each other. We're blessed that we have one another to rub shoulders with and to sit around the table with in a few minutes, to share food with, to just hang out and be the people of God. And here's the cool thing. I don't believe that any of us are here by accident. I believe that God has brought us here for His purpose. For His purpose. Because we have, listen, not so the church can do something for us. So many times we get that all messed up, you know? Gosh, what can the church do for me? No. I believe God has brought us here because we have something that this community of faith needs. And we can be part of that with them. God has blessed us to be part of His body. And what God desires for you and for me as part of these promises is to be fully committed to Him. Now, you know, a question comes up, well, what's the big deal? Come on, Mike, really? Why do we need to keep our promises? What's the big deal? So what? You know, the world's not going to end if I mess up and don't keep a promise, right? Well, no. But one reason keeping a promise is so important is because the popular culture around us says this. Promises like pie crust are meant to be broken. That's what our culture says. But we know that's not right, right? We know different than that. That the reality is that we're to keep our promises. As God's people, as good stewards, as good managers of all the blessings that God has given us in life, we're to keep our promises. Another reason that we need to keep our promises, and I love this, is that we need each other. I love this. You know, we need each other to heal. And some of us are broken. Some of us have had rough times, and we need each other to heal. We need each other to love and to grow and to look more like Jesus. You see, listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that we are a community of faith. We are the church and we need each other. We can't say to people, oh, you know what, we don't really need you. No, we do need each other. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, it gives us that picture of the body, and what it says there is that you and I, we complete each other within the community of faith. Isn't that cool? We need each other. We're part of the community of faith. And then there's a third reason why keeping our promises are so important. People are watching. People are watching. Every day. They're watching you, they're watching me, they're watching us, it's our kids, it's our friends, it's our neighbors, it's the people we work with, people are watching. And so it becomes so important for us if we say, well, I'm part of the church. You see how important it is? People are watching. They're looking to see, are we living up to the witness that we seem to portray, that we want to portray? They're watching us. They want to know if our walk matches our talk. So when we're, I like this one too. People with good intentions make promises. People with good character keep them. That's why it's important. People are watching. So when we're fully committed. What kind of promises do we make to one another? Philip Yancey wrote a book called Vanishing Grace. We did a couple years ago on Wednesday night. But in this book, he talks about how. Let me just read part of this. Ideally, the church should be a place that reminds us of these lasting truths that God intends the best for us. That God is for us. And that sin and failure are inevitable, but forgiveness is guaranteed. That a supportive community bears burdens and comforts the needy. A pastor friend of his did a series of sermons. He was looking through the Bible and he kept coming to this phrase, one another. One another. One another. And I thought, what is that? And how does that relate to us as a church? And so he put together this series of messages using the one another's, and he came up with this list. Love one another. This is what the church is to be all about. This is what the body of Christ is to be all about. Because we complete one another, love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, be devoted to one another. Do not speak against another. Wow. Do not judge one another. Be kind to one another. Care for one another. And then several others. And then he said this. I wonder how different the church would look to a watching world. Not to mention how different history might be if Christians everywhere followed that model. Wow. The one another's. That's why keeping our promises is so important. And that's what it looks like in the church. We are for one another. And what about those who come and unite with the church? What about those who come and stand here from time to time? There'll be some next week as well. And you know, what about those persons who say, you know, I'm going to be loyal to Christ. I'm going to be loyal to Christ. Listen, our primary allegiance is always to Jesus. First and foremost. But then they say, as members of the congregation that asked for this local church, Covenant, will you or do you promise to faithfully participate in its ministries? And what are those? Well, let me talk about a couple of them. One is, will you faithfully participate in praying for one another? Praying for one another. Listen. Mel was going to say this earlier. I'm just going to say it. The news media in our country has said that praying for one another is politically incorrect. That is absolute garbage. Okay? It's garbage.
Amen.
Pray for one another. And when people stand here, they say, we're going to, and we have all said that. We said it just a few minutes ago in our response that we'll faithfully participate in the ministries of our church by praying for one another. Praying for the body of Christ in Texas and in Connecticut and in Florida and all over the place that's dealt with crazy stuff going on in their lives. Pray for one another. Grab your Bible or grab your bulletin. And look at those scripture passages that are there. If you'd rather have you turn your Bible, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you've got your smartphone, that's cool too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Listen to these verses. Listen to what Paul says to this church about prayer. He says, encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Wow, church. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. He wasn't talking to me. I'm glad he wrote that to the Thessalonians and not to Mike. Actually, he did write to me. Those are words for me and for us. Be patient with everyone. See to it that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be helpful. Now here's some words, these next three words. You can just underline these if you want to, or you can just circle them or just hang on to these. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. What does that mean, never stop praying? Well, what it means is that every moment of every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, our hearts and minds are so in tune with God and His Holy Spirit that when God brings to us a person, a situation, a circumstance, something going on in the life of our church, in the life of people who live around us, in an instant, we can be in prayer. That's what it means. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing or who we're with or what the situation. What Paul is saying to the church, never stop praying. Be ready, be willing, be able that in a moment's notice, you can go to the Father in prayer. That's what he means. Let me give you a, you can write this down, or you can just remember this. Daniel chapter 9. If you get a chance, I've been reading every day in this past week or so, in a devotional that I read every day about prayer. And Daniel chapter 9 was a reference they pointed us to. Daniel 9, I think it's the first 12 or 15 verses, something like that. But go and take a look at how Daniel prayed. And how Daniel was in tune with God. And how Daniel heard God's voice speak to him. And how he was quick to confess his brokenness and the messes that he'd made of his own life. And how he was quick to pray for the people who lived around him that he knew were in trouble. Powerful instances of being ready to pray. Never stop praying. And then there's this second promise that we make to one another that we will be present. We'll be present. Well, what in the world does that mean? We'll be present. I'll support the church with my prayers and my presence. Ed Stetzer's director of Lifeway Research. Now he's at Wheaton College or Wheaton, Illinois. He's the head of the Billy Graham Center there. Ed Stetzer, said in an article last year, listen to this, overall, the church's influence on Americans is beginning to fade. If you haven't noticed, it's true. Overall, the church's influence on Americans is beginning to fade. And then he clarifies that by talking about these what it looks like even in today's world to be a Christian or a Jesus follower. And he pointed these statistics out, and he said almost 1/4 of Americans. So what do we have in America? 320 million people? Is that right? Something like that? So almost 1/4 of American people have no religious affiliation. That blows my mind. 80 million people either have never been to a church, have not been raised with any kind of church background, have not ever set foot in a church door. 1/4 of American people. And then he says there's another group. Another 1/4. And these are people who have been part of the church, who maybe even were in leadership within their church, who have decided that they don't want any part of organized religion anymore. They don't want to be part of the organized church. They can do their faith thing on their own wherever they are. They're called the duns. So that first group, that first 1/4 is called the nuns. They have none. They have no religious influence in their lives. The second group is called the duns. People that have been connected to the church have stepped away, said, they can have it. Then there's a third group. Another 1/4. So you have a 1/4 are nuns, a 1/4 are duns, and he says there's another 1/4. Fastest growing group of all those people. He said it's people who have 1 foot in the door and 1 foot out. They're not sure they want to be part of the organized church anymore. They're called the almost duns. Nuns, duns, almost dones. And he said the last fourth of Americans are very active in their faith. They pursue Jesus with all of their heart. They're seeking to grow. They're seeking to become and live transformed lives. Those are staggering numbers, church. Staggering numbers. And when we say we promise to support the church with our prayers and our presence, let me ask you to grab your bulletins again. Look at that second passage that's there from Hebrews chapter 10. And let's listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. This is a word of encouragement to you and to me, to us. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. Well, hang on, church. Listen. There is not a doubt in my mind that the waters are going to get rough. And they're going to get rougher for the church in today's world. But hold on. Hold on. Tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted. I love that. God can be trusted to keep His promises. Aren't you glad? Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So here you go, verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But encourage one another. Especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. That's pretty straightforward. What's that mean? What's that mean for you and for me? It means that we never leave anybody behind. That's what it means. We don't leave people behind. That's what Veterans Day is all about, right? Celebrating the fact that they didn't leave people behind. That means that we are for one another. Good, bad, ugly. That this is so important. The cause of Jesus trumps everything. Church? Really? The cause of Jesus trumps everything. It trumps the color of the walls. It trumps the color of the chairs. It trumps the color of the carpet. It trumps whatever we're thinking about is wrong with the church. The cause of Jesus trumps it. And when one hurts, we're all hurting. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one is missing, we figure out why and see what we can do to help them reconnect to part of our body. Why? Because we complete each other. We need each other. Somebody said, Jesus' followers stand the strongest when they don't stand alone. I like that. Jesus' followers stand the strongest when they don't stand alone. So what's this say to you and me about keeping our promises? Fully committed to keeping the promises that we've made. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Before we sing, I want to ask you just to just be quiet. Just let the Holy Spirit move among us. Grab your bulletins and read those scriptures again. What does God want to say to you? Because I know what happens is when you read the scriptures, God speaks. When we read scripture, God speaks to us. So let's take a minute. Let's reread those passages. Let's listen for God's voice and what that looks like when we are called to be fully committed to the promises that we make.